and read that over until it sinks in. I believe that. I don't think that a person, you are not what you think you are, but what you think you are. And I think we hear something, somebody says, and your whole family was that way, or you're this, that. I don't believe that. But Sir Francis Bacon was asked what he thought the outlook was for the next generation. And he declared, "Tell me what the young people are thinking and I'll tell you." That is true. And when we look at the young generation, when I think about my kids, then I think about the grandkids, we know that the grandkids are more liberal on a lot of things. But what we need to understand as individuals, thoughts produce actions, and actions produce habits, and habits produce lifestyle. That will be true in every generation. Now, if you're at the opinion, you know, we are what we are and we just make the best of it. But I think the problem with this generation, I think it's a problem with Baptists in particular, we don't think. We spend a lot of time on TV and the iPhone and everything, but do we get out, and when I say we don't think, do we meditate? And I think that meditation is the greatest thing that you can do for your mental health. It will affect your physical health, and it's just like the oil, you know. There are those who say, "I don't believe in it. It won't work. I'm not wasting my time." And as long as you feel that way, don't take it, you know. But a lot of what we feel is in the mind, and people get excited about that. But Dr. Bob Jones used to say, behind every human tragedy, there's a slow process of evil or wicked thinking. And the reason he taught that, no one ever falls into sin. They have been falling a long time. We only saw them when they landed. Sin began in their thoughts. That's why that we got to watch what we think. And when we're thinking negative, we got to change that. I cannot help. You know, and I use that in our first Bible school, you know, many, many years ago. Can't help if a bird lands on my head. But I determine whether he stays there. I mean, you know, whether you agree with psychology or anything, we got to at least be honest with ourselves. Whatever we do, it began with a thought. So we change our thought life, and we'll change our life. So Sir Francis Bacon was asked what he thought the outlook was for the next generation, and he declared, "Tell me what the young people are thinking, and I'll tell you." Because thoughts produce action, action produce habits, and habits produce lifestyle. So the battle, as far as Christians are concerned, is the mind. What you put into the computer comes out. Put in 48 hours of television a week, and you'll have someone who acts, talks, thinks, and like television personalities at a very minimum. But as we do it, it becomes more and more and more. Put in 30 hours of rebellious radio music by week, and you have someone who has philosophy and rebellion like the groups he hears. what have you been programming into your computer? We can take something that has affected all of us one way or the other, and that's the virus. You hear it constantly. You see it on your computer. You hear it on the radio. You hear it on the TV, everywhere you go. So whether we believe it's real, whether we believe it's serious, it has affected our lives because we hear it, hear it, hear it, hear it. You can't help but have some evil thoughts cross your mind from time to time, but do you entertain them? This is so simple that I believe that we can change. We can change our attitude, and you may say, I don't have that problem. Well, most people do. Most people do. If you hang around an individual along every hour, every day, a lot of time, you'll take up some of that person's thought life, how they think, how they do. But the answer is found in Romans chapter 12. You know, when we look at the word of God in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2, we all know what that is. But when we look at Romans, the 12th chapter, verse 1 and verse 2, Paul said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's how Christians, that's how we make up, is it right or is it wrong? Should I be doing this? Should I be feeling this way? Should I dress this way? Should I listen to this? Should I watch this? If you're a child of God, our attitude should be, I want to please the Lord, because that's where all of my blessings come from. Whether you think, you know, I'm a self-made man, and I always tell everybody, and they get a little ticked sometimes, if you're a self-made person, I sort of feel sorry for you, because God is to be our leader. God is to set, and so if we think positive, if we think, God, I need your help, I need an insight, I need this, so we need a transformation, and a transformation is an inward change that produces an outward change. You're not going to stop doing anything. You'll never stop cursing, you'll never stop smoking, you'll never stop drinking, you'll never stop cursing. You know, anything that we do until we decide, I've got to do this. That is, I don't want to do that no more. And that is called transforming our thought life. And God said, I beseech you, I beg you, I plead you, therefore, brethren. Now, if you read this the way I read it, that means if you're a child of God, you got an advantage over a lost person. Because God wants you, whatever is hurting your body, whatever is hurting your thought lives, whatever it is, he said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your body a living sacrifice. In other words, if I'm going to be a living sacrifice, I'm going to live what I say I believe. So a transformation is an inward change that produces an outward change. When God saved me, where did the change take place? On the outside or on the inside? It took place on the inside. This body is still my enemy. But this body is not as bad as it used to be. My mind is not as fluid as it used to be because I'm saved and I depend upon God to teach me. So transformation is an inward change. Got to have an inward change. That's why you see people walk the aisle, join church, be baptized, faithful as they can be for a year, year and a half, and then you don't see them. That is an emotional change. Most of them have got a great problem, and they think that somebody said, you come to church, you join church, you get baptized, and things will get better. Not necessarily. Sometimes things will get worse. Because you've got a battle. You've got an inside battle and an outside battle. You know, it's like the old saying. I've heard many old preachers say it. You know, we have a black dog and a white dog. Whichever one we say sick him to. Whichever one we yield to. Do we yield to the flesh or do we yield to the mind? So a transformation is an inward change that produces an outward change. But you cannot have a lasting change if it's just on the outside. It's got to be inward. Got to be inward. A biologist cannot change a caterpillar into a butterfly. It has to come from the inside. So it is in the Christian life. Worry, depression are not solved by psychiatrists, but by thinking what God wants us to think. I mean, I choose if I worry. And I know worriers, you know, so I don't believe that. But I choose what I read. I choose where I go. I choose who my best friends are. And those choices make me. Isaiah 26:3. When we look at the Word of God and we see what the Lord says, you know, what does Isaiah 26, and verse 3. Now, what God says here, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. So Isaiah 26:3 proves my take that we are what we think. So we have got to change our thought life. Philippians 4:8. God gives us a list of things to occupy our thoughts. Now, you know, most people don't agree with this because they have never tried it, but he said in Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, how do I evaluate my life? How do I say, has God been good to me, or has he not been good to me? It depends on what I think. And I just think on things that are true. Not everybody lives to be as old as me. Not everybody has the qualities, good or bad, that I have. So what we think on determines our personality. That's why there are some people, I practiced at IBM for years. Everybody, you know, when you got paid, what do you make? What do you mean, what do I make? It's none of your concern what I make. What do you think about this? It doesn't concern me. But if I'm all upset about something, I'd get comfort if I can find somebody that will agree with me. But it's not everybody else. It's how I'm going to handle this. How am I going to handle what is upsetting me? How am I going to handle this? You know, what any of y'all think about the virus, now I can let what you think control me, or I can evaluate it myself. So, you know, when I've had people, me being a pastor, I've had people, I mean, that I just know, what do you think about the shot? Do you think I should take the shot? Do you think it's real? I don't know no more than anybody else does about it. What do you believe? Is it good? Is it bad? We all make our decisions on what we feel is right. It's no difference. You know, I don't have respect for Biden as my president, but it's not because you don't or you might. I make up my mind with what I have searched out about him or any leader may be. See, so God is saying, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest or just or pure or lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. Said to say the average mind is like a toilet. To keep it clean, you need constantly flushing with good thoughts, much prayer, much scripture, and much grace. What helps me is that I try to get up daily and thank God for how good he is to me. I may have a backache, I may have a headache, I may have some pain, but there's those that can't get up. So far, I haven't had any help in getting out of bed. I thank God for that. Now, there are three minds, you know. There are three types of minds mentioned in Scripture, and I have one of them. There is a natural mind, a carnal mind, and a spiritual mind. And whatever one that you have, you can keep that mind by thinking the way you thought to get where you are. The natural mind, you know, the carnal mind, that's what most people have. The spiritual mind is to thank God for the blessings he has bestowed upon you, and you're not near as bad a shape as someone else. You could be a lot worse. God did not bring you this far because you were special. He did not bring you this far because you were better than anybody else. He brought you where you are because he chose you when you were still a sinner, a hater of him. He brought you out. He saved you, and he gives you an ability. He's given you a mind. We need to use our mind. You know, I don't need NBC to tell me what kind of president I've got. I don't need ABC to tell me how things are. I've got enough common sense to know that when I go to Walmart this week, it costs me more than it did last week, and I've got the same items. So, 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Why? So they are foolish unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Now, I'm sure you have talked, as I have, to lost people, professing lost people, and I would share something with them, and they say, I understand that. I agree with that. They're lying to themselves. A lost man cannot understand. They can know the facts. They can know what the Bible says, but for that thought life to go into their life and change it, it takes the Spirit of God. Because God said, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. That doesn't mean that the natural man can't memorize them. The lost man didn't know what it is. But, see, when God say, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. There's no way a lost person can understand spiritually truth. They can memorize it. They can know it up here, but it's never entered the heart. See, this is a non-Christian. He has no spiritual appetite for the things of God. He cannot comprehend spiritual truth because he's dead in trespasses and sins. And that's what Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1 says. Until God saved me, you know, I could not comprehend spiritual truth. You know, I believed in the head before I was saved that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, but believing in the head is not salvation. Believing in the head does not qualify me to experience what a child of God can, but when God saves me, I not only can have the head knowledge, but now I have the understanding that comes when the Spirit of God bears witness with my spirit. He may be outwardly religious, morally clean, but cannot comprehend the Christian life. His thoughts will be what is right in his own eyes, situation ethics, humanism. The natural man thinks whatever comes natural to a lost person. It's just natural, you know. But spiritual things I didn't get from my parents. Spiritual things I didn't get from any good friend. So see, our problem is, in this life, is being carnal. A carnal mind is a worldly mind. And if you're a Christian, if you're a carnal Christian, you are a worldly Christian. And that's what affects the true church. Romans 8:7 said, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. See, you cannot be a carnal Christian. Now, what does carnal mean? Carnal means of the flesh. The carnal mind is a saved person who lives for the flesh. The church at Corinth was full of carnal Christians. Paul called them babies. He said they could only swallow the milk of the word. In other words, a carnal Christian does not and will not try to understand doctrine. You ask the average Christian, you are a Christian because why? And they'll say something, because I believe that Jesus died for me, was buried for me, and rose for me. The average person said, that's wonderful. But doctrine tells me that God put my name in the book of life before he even spoke this earth into place. Oh, I don't believe that. Well, if you're one of God's elect, I don't care how bad a person you are, before you leave this world, you're going to have a change. And yes, do I believe in deathbed confessions of faith? I most certainly do. But I wouldn't want to take a chance on one of them. because I don't know where I'm going to be, what shape I'm going to be, what time I'm going to die. But I know I'm going to die or be raptured one. Well, the Christian with a carnal mind is not satisfied in Christ alone. He chases after things, amusements, delights, rather than the things of God. He is quarrelsome, touchy, often to the source of church problems. He has feeble digest and cannot get his own food spiritually. Because you're not going to understand the things of God as much as your wife or your husband or your son, your daughter, if they are living closer to the Lord. I mean, do you tell a secret to who? Do you just go out on the street and pick up this is for me and you. No, we tell our best friend or somebody we can trust. Well, you can't trust Christ if you don't know him personally. But you can in the head. I don't, talking about the ark, you know, how decorated it is. I don't have to go down there. All I've got to do is look out my bedroom window. My neighbor has got a great big house. They've got everything, flashing reindeer and flashing angels, you know what I mean. He even got the mailbox. I looked at it last night, and I said, they've got a sidewalk, you know, a walk where you walk through. But then, when I got up this morning, no, it wasn't. It was their mailbox. They got a big stone mailbox, you know. And at night, it looks like someplace you can walk through, you know. If I was drunk, I would try to walk through that concrete, you know. They Dora walked across the street to take them some cookies. This was months ago. And she was breathing hard. From their door to our door is maybe 300 feet across the road. They put her in the truck, brought her over. They didn't want her walking. It's a wonderful neighbor. Lost as they can be. Good people. So not lost people or bad people, but you don't get to heaven because you're a good person. Because God said there's none good, no, not one. But I certainly like to have neighbors like that. We were in Georgia last year, and somebody brought a box and put up on it, and she called me in Georgia and said, were you expecting this? You said, no, when we're there, you didn't know they were there, but they're good neighbors, but they're lost. See, the lost sees no difference and have no conviction when around a carnal mind Christian. The carnal mind needs to get right with God, be serious, and fill itself with Scripture. See, it is when we fill our life with Scripture, that's what makes the difference. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1, you know, Paul said, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither ye now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and division, are ye not carnal and walk as men? See, we have Christians that do that. But they're missing. They're missing that inward peace that I know that whatever happens, God permitted it. God permitted it. See, that's the difference, that we know that all good and perfect gifts come from God. And they don't have to be good, as we say, this cake is good, or it's good. It's good for me, so God allows it to happen. Don't like it in the flesh sometimes. But you look back and you realize how good God was to you. The spiritual-minded Christian. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 15. God said, "But he that is spiritual judges of all things, yet himself is judged of no man." What's that talking about? I mean, you know, he's telling us here in 2:15, "But he that is spiritual judges of all things, yet himself is judged of no man." Don't judge. It's not what I'm important. If I'm telling you that, Gene, you shouldn't do this, if it's just my opinion, she probably said, keep your opinion to yourself. But if I can show you, Gene, this is what God said. If she's saved, it will affect her, or God will chasten her. But I don't have the right. I don't have the right to tell nobody. You know, I'm not going to tell my neighbor, you know, take down all that stuff, man. You know, it's affecting my sleep. I wouldn't do that. So in the bedroom, I close the blinds, close the curtains, and if we still see it, I'll put a blanket or something up on the window. They have the right to participate in that heathenistic holiday. I don't have the right to tell them not to, but I'm not going to. This is the Christian who is filled with the Holy Spirit, has a mind full of Scripture. He is mature, but, you know, you can be mature, understanding of spiritual things, has the ability to teach other Bible truths, and is fruitful. He has the mind of Christ, but there's some carnal part, and we all got a part that somebody else doesn't like. All of us out, you know. I had, you know, I've had people say, you know, we're a country church. You don't have to wear a tie. Then we had the visitor that came with Sister Valerie, and I came in on Wednesday night without a coat and tie, and she said, "Who are you?" She didn't even recognize me, see, because if you're going to be a preacher, you got to wear a coat and tie. I mean, that illustration is exactly what life is. People got in their mind, they don't make them bad people, don't make anything. You do this, if that, you know. That's why Christ said, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus." Philippians 2:5. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this teaching. We ask that you may bless this, thy people. Be with those as they attend this morning, those that may be on their way. Give them traveling mercy. We ask all this in your blessed holy name. For it's because of you we are. Amen.